This is episode 214 on July 6th, 2017.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I'm Dave Podner.
Hey, Dave, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing today, Joe?
I'm doing all right. Hopefully, I can get through this episode without sounding too much like I have a cold. Yes, I have a summertime cold, which really sucks, but I'm going to try and get through it. I wanted to thank you and Mark for, you know, kind of holding down the fort for the couple weeks that I've been gone. I had worked a 70-hour week during my duty week, which was the week that you guys recorded. And then we took a break from the show last week, and I was out of town. I was at a kids' camp with my two oldest kids and had a lot of fun. I was a counselor for one of the cabins where there was four adults and 19 boys in our cabin, and ranging from ages 6 to 11. And so, is it 6 to 11 or 6 to 10? So, we had a fun time. And so, I was obviously out of town, but, you know, was able to, you know, have fun and take some pictures and video and do all that type of stuff while I was gone. So, I appreciate you what you guys did. And, you know, I know that the show is in good hands when I'm gone.
Okay, you can believe whatever fiction you can believe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I mentioned on the last episode, I did the intro, that, you know, we apologize for getting the episode out later than usual. We had some technical difficulties with Mark's computer, which he recorded the show on. It had to go to Apple, and he had to wait for it to get back before he could drop the audio into Dropbox for me to be able to edit and put up on the web and do the show notes and all that. So there was a little bit of a delay there. So, you know, we want to apologize about that, but, you know, that this stuff happens every once in a while, and we try to work through it. But, you know, it's nice to know that, you know, people want to hear our show, and, you know, they are disappointed when we don't do an episode. That, you know, that warms my heart.
And so, we have a nice friendly group too that doesn't immediately say, wait a minute, your show's late a day, what's wrong with you people,
and pod fading.
Exactly.
So me with my head cold and everything, I was thinking, oh, should I do a show? And I was thinking, no, I need to do a show. I can't go 3 weeks or 4 weeks without doing a show. Next week's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to be traveling with my family to New Hampshire for a memorial service. And so I will be on the road next Thursday. So may have Mark and Dave do a show, or I was thinking of trying to get together with Mark while I'm in that area. New Hampshire's right next to Massachusetts. So my plan is to meet up with Mark and, you know, do some video stuff, but then also maybe do a out of the ordinary podcast, and, you know, just kind of us together. We'll see how it works. You know, you can always plan things, but sometimes it doesn't always work out.
That's not the main reason for your trip too.
Yes. So there is a possibility we may not have a show next week, but I should be back from the trip the following Thursday, and my plan is to, you know, continue having a show. So being that it is summertime and trips and vacations and everything like that, we're going to try to minimize the amount of time that we are away, because, you know, we like to have consistency. We like to be able to put things out on a schedule. And, you know, we enjoy doing this for you guys. So, you know, don't think of it as, oh, you know, they skipped out. But, you know, for the most part, everybody understands.
Oh, yeah. And we appreciate that. We really do.
Yep. So, speaking of last episode, you guys talked about fireworks. And I thought it would be a great time to talk about fireworks again, kind of sum things up, because this is 2 days after the 4th of July, and how many days after the Canadian Independence Day? I think theirs was on the 1st. Almost a week. And we've had a lot of people post some fireworks photos on our Facebook page, and so we thought we would sort of talk about them and kind of mention what some people were doing. So let's see here. The first person that we have here is Cliff Haddix, and he had posted a fireworks with people sitting watching it silhouetted against the light. And what did you say before we went live? What did you call this?
Was it Mystery Science Theater 3000?
Yes, yes, yes. And, you know, it's wonderful. You can see some light from the distant sunset, but, you know, even the street lights that are around, and the street lights helped to give that silhouette. It was a wonderful image to look at. And so he did pretty good with that one. And then Mark,
I think it's a good example. I'm sorry. I would say it's also a good example of, to get a great feeling photograph, you don't have to have, I don't want to say not the sharpest image, but, you know, even Cliff said it was too far away to isolate the burst, but
sure,
not getting the burst 100% crisp and clear, you still had a great feeling coming from the image itself.
Yes, yes. And then Mark Sadowski posted a couple. He, I believe, used the slow shutter cam, and it looks like he caught a couple different explosions on one image and then a single explosion on another. And so, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, slow shutter cam, is it the best thing to use for fireworks? You know, it's, you know, I guess, you know, fireworks pretty much you get like two times a year, unless you go to like a ball game. You only get a few chances to really try out fireworks photography. And so, like this year I wasn't able to do it. And, you know, so I was like, I kind of wish I could have, but I didn't have the opportunity. But in the past, I've gotten a lot of good shots, say from stills from a video, like when I recorded fireworks from my iPhone. I haven't tried the slow shutter cam in fireworks, but I'll, you know, next opportunity that I have, I should, you know, I'll really try and see what I can do. But it also, it puts you under a lot of pressure. The pressure to perform, the pressure to try to get the best shot, even though you're trying something that you've probably hadn't tried fireworks before with, you don't know how it's going to turn out. And so a lot of times you get this, oh, I better get it right, you know, or, you know, which setting should I use? And the next thing you know, you're missing the fireworks display. Right. And,
right. And especially now, especially if you're going out with family.
Yes.
That it's like, well, I have a day off finally, or, you know, this is a culmination, maybe getting there with family you don't see very often. And you don't want to spend all your time on the photograph.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a balance that you have to have. And, you know, with DSLRs, I mean, there was a time where, you can really use one and get some magnificent images, but the challenge is getting it with our phone. The challenge is using something that is has limitations. The challenge is to be able to produce something that, you know, you thought was impossible. So that's, you know, and that's why we do this podcast. All right.
I also want to mention Greg's from Canada Day. It was a little further down over, yep. I'm not sure which lake. And also want to thank him for jumping in for the last show we recorded.
Yes,
too.
Yes. Thanks, Greg. That was awesome.
And the reflection on the shots over the lake with the fireworks, and it was just
beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely gorgeous.
You know, anytime you can get light over water, it adds to the image. But the fireworks, you're like, wow, you know, that is awesome. And then, go ahead.
Sorry. I would say one thing I'm looking forward to is later this year when iOS 11 comes out.
Oh,
and
yes.
The ability to do the pseudo slow shutter with the live photos.
Yes.
And I know that we have a big fireworks coming up always for what in Pittsburgh called Light Up Night.
Oh, cool.
Which is right around Thanksgiving.
Nice.
Kind of the beginning of the holiday shopping season type thing. So not only is all of downtown lit up, but there is a pretty large fireworks display that happens. And the nice thing is happening in November, you don't have to wait till 10 o'clock at night for it to get dark. Of course, the negative is you're also freezing cold half the time, but.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right. Yeah, so, let's see here. Another entry onto our Facebook group was Margaret Acton. And she had, it looks like a slow shutter type image. It looks like, she caught one as it was bursting and another one as it was fading away. And you can see a little bit of the smoke in the air that's reflecting the light. And, you know, that's pretty cool. Sometimes not having the perfect image is interesting, and it creates tension, you know, and draws the eye. Let's see here. The next image is, Jenny Simonson DeMuzio. She had looks like a composite of two images. And I don't know if it's a reflection off of a window or if she took two images and put them together. But she has... I don't know if it's herself or a friend looking up in the sky, but then the composite is of fireworks that is just bursting around her. It's very interesting, and I really like it. And
okay, I see that right there.
You see it?
Okay. Yeah.
And then the last one really isn't. You don't see fireworks in it, and Matt Hand had posted an image of, I believe, I could be mistaken, but I believe it is his, like a daughter or son, it's a child, looking up at the sky and with their mouth open, but the light from the fireworks is lighting up their face. And yep. That's one way of being able to take and posting, getting some cool images.
Yeah, total agree. The absolute joy is just so fun. It's fun to see.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So, fireworks. Very cool. I look forward to seeing some more. I'm going to try to find more opportunities, maybe a ball game or a special event to be able to find some good fireworks.
Now, let me ask you, do you think similar techniques, of course, safely from a distance, for lightning?
Lightning is different. Okay. Lightning is like it's instantaneously there and then gone. Fireworks kind of lingers. And then the other thing is, it's so fast. A lot of time, you know, there are apps that you are triggers to be able to capture the fireworks. I think maybe the live photos would be able to catch some good fireworks, lightning. But then also you don't know exactly if the lightning is going to be in front of you, to the left of you, be behind you. So, you know, unless you know that storm is directly ahead, that is probably a much harder subject to photograph than fireworks.
I know we're coming into lightning season per se, or at least the beginning of it, where you're getting more storms and more chances of lightning.
Oh yeah, absolutely. All right. So that was a good wrap up of last week's episode, or the last episode. And if you guys have some fireworks images, feel free to post them. Let's show people what you have. I mean, this is going to be, you know, a wide range of, oh, that's really cool, or that's very interesting. Or if you have any questions on how somebody did it, by all means, just go and ask, and they'll be able to tell you. All right, let's do this. We're gonna do something new. We have a new feature that we're doing, and it's going to be app reviews. What Dave and I are going to try and do each episode is find an app, whether we've talked about it before or not, and highlight it as an app to kind of review, to talk about a little bit. It gives people who may have never heard about those apps an opportunity to hear about it and kind of get somebody's perspective on it. And then also, you know, it with things kind of the way they are, we kind of have forgotten, because we used to do this in the beginning parts of Tiny Shutter. Everything was changing. Apps were coming out left and right, and it was awesome. And then after a little while, it kind of slowed down. But I think we need to kind of get back to some of our roots and talk a little bit about some of those apps that are out there. And so the first app we're going to talk about is one of my favorites. It is called Office Lens. Now, Dave, you have Office Lens, correct?
That is, yes. All right. Yeah, I've actually had it a while back when it first came out.
Yes.
Also,
yes.
And just didn't use it for a while, and just because I just haven't had a need for it. I think you've had a lot more of a need for it than,
yes,
at least work related.
I mean, I used it for work. I've used it for pleasure. It's a great app. It's put out by Microsoft. And, you know, you think, oh, Microsoft has apps in the App Store. Absolutely. They do. They have quite a few, actually. It is a free app, which is awesome. And you can actually tie in your Microsoft account with that app to use certain features. So let's start with you, Dave. What have you used this app for?
Sure. Well, one thing I tried to do, I have a few old yearbooks, both my old, and I guess it now be considered my old high school yearbook now, and my mother's and my grandmother's high school yearbook. And it's always tricky trying to get taking photos from a yearbook, especially an older one, combination of glare and just trying to take an older picture where, you know, you're trying to get it where you're not in shadow, but you can't be right over. So you have to want to be right over top so you're not getting skewed, but then you get the shadow with the light. And just trying to, and I'm sure you're going to talk about, one nice thing about this app is that it will automatically detect the subject, what you're looking for. And you can manually override it to select a square or even not even a square or rectangle. We can actually do different four-sided shapes. So it doesn't have to be square or rectangle. And just cut that out. And it'll actually skew it so it's not looking too – so it actually makes it look nice and flat. So I've been trying that with a couple of yearbooks.
Yeah, very
and
cool.
Off there.
Sorry. I had in the same vein, I had used photo albums, used it with some photo albums because it was, number one, easy, and number two, sort of a better way of scanning. So yeah. let me kind of go over a little bit of what this app for myself can do. When I first found this app, it was interesting because I'm trying to remember who I heard it from, but I think I downloaded it and started playing around with it. Well, you have a few features. You can actually, at the bottom, it says you can take a picture of a business card. You can do a regular photo. You can work with documents and then a whiteboard. And you're thinking, okay, well, that's great. Why would I want to actually use any of those? Well, one of the features that Microsoft did, which was awesome, was it gave you a chance of being able to freely crop your image or a piece of paper without actually doing the cropping part. You can manually crop, but this had an automatic feature that was really cool, and it worked very well. Sometimes it will kind of jump around, and you have to play with it a little bit, but for the most part, it does it very well, and I love the ease of that feature. Well, one of the things that you can do with it, let's say it's a business card. So you lay a business card on the table and you want to take a picture of it. Well, it'll automatically crop around the business card. You take the picture and then it removes everything to the top, bottom, left, and right of the business card so that the only thing you can see is the business card. And, you know, I used to do that before with just regular photos and then crop them out. And then I'd find that the keystoning or I was off a little bit or I cast a shadow on the card. And it would frustrate me because I couldn't get it right. Well, this automatically corrects keystoning. It automatically crops out everything else around it. And it looks great. So whether it's a photograph, a business card, a document. I've used it on art and I've used it on blueprints. And so what I would do, let's start with the art. So a lot of times art is like a painting or something that, you know, we'll say it's at a small museum where there's a lot of kids. It's going to be behind glass. You know, you don't want a little hands touching it. You don't want them touching photographs. This could be at your house. Anything that has glass in front of it is going to reflect light. It's going to reflect the scene that is in front of it. And so sometimes you'll see somebody taking a picture of a photograph or a piece of art, and you can see that they took the photograph, but then you also see them in the picture, a slight reflection or a heavy reflection. And it's a little bit of an eyesore. It's drawing your eye away from the subject and towards something that shouldn't be there. And so what you can do is actually angle your phone in a direction that you are not in the reflection, and you can actually move it in such a way that light isn't reflecting off of it either. And so it'll automatically crop in when you take the picture, it'll correct the keystoning. And if it's not too drastic, it'll look exactly like that image or the painting or whatever you took the picture of. It's really, really good. And And so I played around with it a lot. Like I said, I've gotten my hands on some blueprints for work and said, you know what? They have only so many of these. I can't take it with me, but I can take a picture of it. And actually, there was a lot of guys calling me up saying, hey, what is the name of that app? Which one did you use to be able to do that? Because they wanted to do the same thing. And so I told them which one, I showed them how to use it, and they're like, man, this is great. You know, it is a great tool, not only for us as photographers, as people being able to do certain things. It is a great tool for work, for stuff that you do around your house, whether it's, you know, documents, because not only can you save these images as pictures, but you have different options of being able to save them. I can export it to OneNote, OneDrive, Word, PowerPoint, Outlook, Immersive Reader. Then there's three other options. You have Photo Library, Mail for your emails, and then also PDF. So if you took a picture of a document, you can actually create a PDF and be able to email it to somebody in PDF form so that it is not as big as a photograph. So there are a lot of options that you have here and a lot of things that you can be able to do. And I use it all the time. I use it a lot. It's one of the apps that it's my go-to. Now, Apple has said that they're going to give us the option of creating a PDF with iOS 11. So I'm curious to see how it's going to stand up against Office Lens on whether or not, you know, it's going to be able to do the same functions as keystone correction, automatic cropping, and you know, being able to make that PDF a worthwhile document.
Yeah, that's the one thing I don't. I mean, without having a chance to try the beta, but I can see where it will be. Do this, create PDF, but the keystone and the automatic cropping. That would that sounds like just something extra that Apple wouldn't do. That they would say, well, we're going to give you the basics. kind of like how they did with time lapse.
Yes.
You know, when they put time lapse in, you can do a straightforward time lapse, but you can't alter anything about how many pictures or how quickly or anything else, but it kind of gives you the basics.
Yeah.
So I can see, especially first time out, saying, well, we're going to give you the basics, but we're not going to, you know, try to kill anyone else.
And two, one of the things that Apple has done is they have given developers the tools to be able to create these apps. And a lot of times Apple will sit back and watch people innovate and mm-hmm. do things, you know, differently. They may throw something out there and say, oh, you know what? That's a great idea. But they'll sometimes just leave out certain things that you're like, you know what? That other app was great. I want to use that. And I have to say, I think that's all right. I don't want Apple to do everything. I don't need them to be the innovator. A lot of times we get the best stuff from people who are on the outside, who come up with these ideas and don't have somebody saying, no, I don't want you to do that. I don't think that would be good with our operating system.
Well, I'm hoping that, and pure speculation on my part, but there'll be a change where Apple's a little bit, and I think with the AR kit, they're showing being a little bit more open. It, not in terms of completely open, but not everything has to be developed in-house, mainly because now if you want to make an app, they can make that 30% the cut from a purchase from the app store.
Yeah, unless it's free.
True. I mean, you look at the amount of apps up there that, you know, they're free plus.
Oh, sure. The in-app. Yeah, absolutely.
Even photography apps, or, you know, not necessarily the games where you have to buy extra crunch berries for so much each, but
yeah.
You know, it's like, well, you can do this and, you know,
purchases.
If you want the full res or something like this, just do an extra, you know, a buck purchase type thing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even the last keynote, they said, well, Apple Services, which includes the App Store, it would be a Fortune 500 company, I think. Oh, so sure. I think they're getting to the point where they're like, you know what, if someone wants to build, we'll give you the framework. And if you want to build something for it, we're happy for that.
Yeah. All right. Well, is there anything else you wanted to mention about this app?
Well, like you said, the other thing I tried more for an experiment also about the behind glass was photographing something behind glass. And it really was not that hard or tricky, not just to get the cropping, but to make sure there was no glare on it. And just making it where so many times you're trying to take a picture of something behind glass, and not only do you get the reflection, but even if you can get, if you're lucky enough not to get a reflection, you still get glare, which is a pain in the butt and kind of ruins the image half the time.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was real easy just to get the angle right and not have to worry about, like I said, it fixed the keystoning. Absolutely amazing how easy it was to fix it.
Yeah. All right. And one other thing I wanted to do with this with this segment is I would love to have a soundbite to start this this up. So I'm going to look to our listeners. If you want to submit a soundbite for the app review, by all means, send it in to us at tinyshutter@gmail.com if you are up to the challenge, because I think we need to have a jingle for it.
Yeah, sounds great. Total agreement.
Haha. All right. So now that we're done with this, I can't talk. I'm going to go ahead and play this jingle because we're going to move into our focus point.
Focus point.
All right. So our focus point for today, and you're thinking, wow, we got a lot of information already, is we're kind of going to talk. Dave and I are going to talk about a few things. We're not going to make it really long, but we're going to give you guys some ideas with our focus points so that, you know, you kind of have something to not only think about, but maybe explore, try, or perfect. And today we're going to talk about portraiture. And we've mentioned stuff like this before, but I thought it would be good to kind of talk about it again and, you know, get into, you know, what portraiture is and what you can do with it. So let me pull up the definition of what portraiture is. It's a noun, the art of creating portraits, graphic and detailed description, especially of a person. Pretty much it's taking pictures of people. Now, not in the sense that like, oh, there's a crowd over there. You're mainly focused on one person. You're getting a portrait of your subject, a picture of mainly, you know, their head or from their chest on up or, you know, whatever it could be. So I thought it would be good to kind of talk about it a little bit and, you know, some of the different things that you can do besides just, you know, taking a picture of somebody and, you know, doing it just straight on.
Yeah, and I think this also goes off of the one article that was posted about how photographers see something different.
Yes.
And at first, honestly, when I read the title, and of course, anything posted on Facebook, you only read the title half the time, but it just sounded like, well, a real photographer does this. And when I read it a little bit further, it was a lot I would say a lot nicer in how it came out, where it's also, I would say it's more about seeing the unusual, not just the straightforward.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that we like to do is kind of push each other to do things that we are not comfortable with. Portraiture, to me, is not the first thing I want to do. I've thought about it a lot. I've done certain things. I've used off-camera flash. I've done certain portraits, but it's not something that comes naturally to me. And one of the things that you can do is actually look at a collage or a series of portraits, say on Google or Yahoo, by typing in portraiture or portrait and seeing what other photographers have done. Kind of gives you an idea of what, you know, what you can expect or try to do. Like a lot of times, you'll see a portrait of somebody looking straight at the camera, or they could be looking off to the side, not looking at the camera. There's even a profile where it used to be in the, you know, maybe not at the 70s, but the 60s, the 50s, the 40s. If you were to look at some old yearbooks, you would see somebody not looking directly at the camera, but they would look to the right or to the left, whichever one profile they wanted, and you would just see the side of their head. And you're like, what is that? What is that all about? But it used to be, profiles were a way of getting a portrait. A profile is interesting because you don't get to see the whole face. You see one side, and there's angles. There's things that you normally wouldn't focus on that is in that image or painting, and it becomes interesting, especially today. Nobody takes a profile picture anymore. It may be something worth trying. See what you can do and give it a try. There's different, probably the most popular way of doing portraits is in black and white. Color's good, but a lot of times black and white is what people tend to go for. For one, black and white removes anything that may cause a distraction. Color can be very distracting. And so with black and white, you have not only black and white, but you have gray. You have shadows.
Like you said, brings out the lines in terms of not necessarily bringing the gray gradients would show, but something in black and white would also give you
keystoning.
Or like you said, even combining the black and white with not the straight. Of course, the straight on shot can be.
What's a high key? There's high key. There's shadows. There's really white whites and really black blacks, and there's everything else in between. And so you can get very creative with them. Go ahead.
No, I was saying about we were saying about also about the direction where a straight on shot that's black and white can be a very intense image to see. And sometimes can be very disconcerting when you just have that gaze of someone, stare right at the camera in black and white, where there's no shades, there's no, it takes all the lightness out of it, and you just see the staring at you.
Yeah.
Be great.
Yep. Looking directly into the camera has an element. Looking away from the camera has an element. There are just a wide range of opportunities, things that you can do differently to create a mood and be able to, cause conflict, create that tension that is makes an image interesting. I'd love to see you guys try portraiture and see what you can do with it. And you know, it is a tough, I think, especially for myself, I think it's a tough genre to be able to produce. And I think I need more practice. If I was to practice it more, then I believe I would become better at it, like with anything else.
Well, I think one thing that makes it a little hard to practice is so many people don't like to have, just like some people don't like the sound of their voice when they hear it.
Yeah.
A lot of people just have no problem being in photos. But when you're talking about a portraiture, you're talking focusing on that person intently. And it can be a little disconcerting if you know, looking at a photo of – if you're looking at a photo of yourself and not being detached, saying, well, I'm looking at this from, you know, trying to look – not look at – I hate to say not looking at the person, but looking at the overall feeling and the overall photo without trying to be detached from the person, where – the person who's getting the picture taken can look at the photo and think, oh, no, take another photo of me. I don't like how I look here, or, you know, I have this going on, or there's a shadow here, or I don't like that angle, or there's a glare off my – which I understand completely, especially, you know, the person taking the photo taken of them.
Yeah.
But it's one thing that can make it kind of hard is going up to – it's kind of hard to go up to perfect strangers and say, by the way, do you mind if I take a photo of your face?
Yes, because there's the element of rejection. There's the element of, you know, embarrassment. You know, there's all sorts of things that we don't want to do. But here is, you know, something that you can actually do to practice with. You can do self-portraits. You know, you are a subject also. Nobody has to see the images, but you can practice on yourself. Two ways of doing it. You can do what the current generation loves to do and hold their camera out and take a picture of yourself. Or you can set up a tripod, get a Bluetooth or some sort of a trigger to be able to take the images and practice on yourself. Try different things. See what you like. That way, if you can practice on yourself, you can direct somebody else. You're able to take and say, all right, I need you to kind of turn a little bit. I would like you to tilt your head and don't look in the camera. And, you know, because you've tried it on yourself. It's a lot easier to be able to explain things to people, to make certain movements or give them directions if you've had those directions yourself. So self-portrait is a great way of being able to practice. You know, do we think we're the best subjects? Probably not. Who would really want to look at me? You know, that's what goes through my head. But if we are the worst subject, if you're able to capture some awesome images on the worst subject being, you know, for me, it'd be myself, then, you know, I think I would be able to do better with people who are probably more photogenic or more interesting to look at. So, you know, try it, self-portrait, and see what you can do. You may want to, you know, not want to do it outside all the time because then people would think you're vain, but I joke. But, you know, it is well worth the time and effort to use and to practice with.
Yeah. And one thing also is that, a couple things. One, I would say if you're going to practice, and Bill mentioned this in chat about a tripod. Because you want to use the rear facing camera, just because of the difference in terms of
quality.
I would say partially quality, but partially, isn't the aperture a little different from the front and the rear? And wouldn't that make a difference in terms of,
I don't know if the aperture is different, but there may be a different.
Quality difference.
Well,
too.
I don't know. I would have to look into it. I know that, you know, at least the 7. See, I have a single camera on the back and a single camera on the front, and I can do high definition video with even with the front. I don't know. Right. I would have to try it, but I do know that sometimes the front camera was a lower quality.
Right. Like I have the 6 Plus, and definitely the front is significantly worse. But also, their thing instead of you as an alternative
sure.
to the remote shutter is the self timer.
Sure, absolutely.
So built into the built-in camera app, you have a 3 and a 10 second self timer.
Yeah.
Which, as Bill says about duck lips, that's also good for selfies too.
Yes.
If you really want to. Let's say get your arm out there far enough, but trying to hit the shutter while holding the phone out there is a little hard.
You introduce motion and other stuff. Yeah,
exactly.
All right. Well, cool. I guess we can leave this one as it is. If you guys have any suggestions or ideas on how to do portraiture, go to our Facebook group and leave a comment. We would love to hear what you guys have to say. And because I'm not the expert, I don't know everything. I don't have the techniques. Like I said, I'm probably the worst person when it comes to doing portraiture, but I want to be able to use it, have it in my tool bag to be able to pull out and use when I need to, so that I can be able to create some good images. All right, I think we should move to our post pick of the week. Here we go. All right, so the last weekly photo challenge actually went for, 3 weeks?
It's 3 weeks sounds good.
Yeah, could have been longer. But I think we had some good images, and Dave is going to pick our post pick of the week out of our weekly photo challenge. Go ahead and talk about what it was and the image that you chose.
Sure. I would say there were, especially with an abstract such as the letter H, there was a lot of either verbs beginning with H, noun beginning with H, or things that look like the letter H. But the one I picked was from Barbara Aaron Fritsch, for H is for harbor. She didn't say which harbor it was at. But one thing that caught my attention, not only the overall image, but kind of the way the heavy chain out in front framed the photo and made a nice balance to the reflections in the boats and the, I'm guessing, apartments in the background or townhomes possibly in the background. It was a nice overcast day, but even being overcast, the sky wasn't completely flat, so... Definitely, Dan, a nice image where tons of things were available. But the it's kind of weird, but the chain kind of snapped it out of being just a generic photo of a harbor and made it feel more like you're standing on the dock looking at the boats.
Yeah. Let's see here. I had, I like it. The chain to me is something that kind of it's almost a leading line and a boundary. Let's see here. I love the discombobulation of the boats. You know, they're not perfect. They're not sitting there perfectly lined up. They almost look like they've been haphazardly placed. And so it creates a little bit of that tension that I talk about. So mm-hmm. very cool. I like it.
Yeah.
All right.
And there were a couple of really good photos, especially with people in them that got your attention too. But again, and this is something I think you're going to talk about with this upcoming week about having to deal with portraiture and dealing with people in them per se.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So congratulations, Barbara. You are our post pick of the week winner. And we use the images for our album art, for our Facebook banner. We use it as a way to showcase what our listeners are doing, because it's not about Dave or myself or Mark or Matt. You know, this is about you guys, the listener, and what you guys contribute to the show and to the Facebook group and also to Instagram. So congratulations, Barbara, on being post pick of the week. All right. So as Dave alluded to, one of the things that we've done in the past and is to avoid images that are mainly of people. Because for the most part, you know, taking pictures of people is great. But if you're posting it somewhere like on a website or some sort of a group, you need to have, you know, sort of a permission or a way of not exploiting, you know. So it's really difficult because you say, well, this is great. This is perfect. I want to, you know, put this picture up there. But some people will have a hard time with it. Or, you know, some people don't care. Others will be like, you know what? I want you to take that down. I don't want that up there. And so we've in the past avoided that because of those types of issues. But I was talking to Dave and said, you know what? Let's try something different. We're going to go ahead and make portraiture our weekly photo challenge. But there's going to be a twist. We want the portrait to be done in a painting or some abstract type of feature. So if you have an app that is able to change things into a painting or create some abstract art, we want that to be used so that the person isn't easily identifiable. But their features are, you know, you can see the cheek, the nose, the eyes, and just do it in a way that it's not personal. It's more abstract. So, you know, this is a good way of practicing our feature. But then also finding a way of making it creative because, you know, portraits were done by artists before the camera. Somebody would sit down in front of an artist and they would paint them. Now, whether or not it was true to form as what somebody would look like compared to what the artist was able to put on canvas, you know, we may never know. We see some very famous paintings that are what the artists saw or what they were able to put on canvas. We don't know if those people actually look like that. They may have been similar or, you know, the artists might have said, you know what? I like these features here. I don't like these features here. I'm going to change it up a little bit. So, you know, I'm not saying that that's what you have to do with your portraiture, but try to find a way of being creative. You know, take your image to a different level. Practice the portraiture, and then, you know, apply some of those changes. Make it interesting. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what you guys are going to be doing.
Into agreement and something to kind of springboard off what you said about if you're thinking about looking at a portraiture and thinking in your mind, well, this is the way I've done it, or try to think, well, is there a different way I could do it, or think differently? I don't want to say outside the box, but in terms of different from what you're used to sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
different angles, different lighting, things that maybe even go counterintuitive, saying, well, I know I'm supposed to have the light over here, but what if we can try it over here? And the worst thing that could happen is you get an unusable photo, but you gain experience. You're not really losing anything there.
Exactly. So, all right. I'm really looking forward to this. I am. And I'm looking forward to the opportunity of stepping outside of my comfort zone. And that means, you know, asking people, you know, it's easy to ask my wife and my kids, I can get some great images, but I'm going to try stepping out and asking people if I can, you know, take their picture. And I'm going to try different things, looking directly into the camera, looking off to the side. I'm really looking forward to doing some profile pictures. That's something I think would be very interesting to do.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anything else that you wanted to mention about the weekly photo challenge?
No, I would say, you know, in terms of, and this is something another kind of spring mission pick that we did a while back, that the one challenge one day was purple. And while waiting in line, we were behind someone who had bleach blonde hair, but had a purple dye on the bottom of her hair.
Yeah.
And Ruth was like, you know what? I'm just going to go up and ask her and, you know, just say, by the way, I love your hair.
It's yes.
Very striking. And not, of course, not lying, but it was a great job and it was very striking. Do you mind if I take a picture of your, you know, of silhouette in your hair, of your hair there? And she was like, sure, no problem at all. So, you know, be polite, but, you know, be adventurous.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, cool. All right. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention? Because I think we have ourselves a show.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
All right. Well, I'm glad to be back. I'm you know, I'm glad that, you know, you guys are looking forward to our shows and when they're coming out. You know, without you guys, this is, you know, this is just Dave and I talking. But with the participation that we've been having, it's been a wonderful experience. So I'm glad I'm back. I'm, you know, going to try to minimize the times that I'm away. But, you know, life does happen and get in the way. You know, I always look forward to being here on Thursday nights and recording and putting out an episode, because it is a lot of fun. So, all right, let me go ahead and play this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
All right, Dave, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ProfPod. And, of course, in the Facebook group as Dave Podner.
Awesome. You can find me on Instagram at you can find me on Instagram as Joseph Ferreira. You can also find me in the Facebook group, too. I'm Joseph Ferreira, obviously. Take time to go in there. And if you haven't joined, join. I think we're almost to 1,000 people.
Very close. We're 938 right now.
Wow. That's awesome. You guys can also go to tinyshutter.com, where you can find links to Facebook, links to our YouTube channel, and you can find the show notes. We're going to put everything we talked about in the show notes so that it's easy to find. You can find links to apps or articles that we talk about. And, you know, because a lot of times you're like, what did he say? And it's just easy. If you can find the episode number, you can go back and actually find the links to everything we're talking about. All right. Well, Dave, I think we're done. So why don't you say goodbye to everybody?
Good night, everyone, and have a good week.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Kowalski, what's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive, flaming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.
Remember, it's better to tell the truth.
And that's no lie. Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle. G.I.